One, I'm loving you. Two, you're loving me. Three, I'm making it four. One, I'm loving you. Two, you're loving me. Three, we're making it four.
Edward David Anderson is a songwriter with a long history in Bloomington Normal. 20 years ago, when he was just called Ed Anderson, he fronted a band called Brother Jed. Later, it was a group called Backyard Tire Fire that toured nationally and made a series of critically acclaimed CDs. Of late, Edward David Anderson has been pursuing a solo career. His first recording was produced by Steve Berlin of Los Lobos. This month, Anderson released The Loxley Sessions, which was produced by Anthony Crawford, a longtime collaborator with Neil Young. Crawford lives in the Gulf Shores region of L.A., or Lower Alabama. For the past several winters, Anderson and his wife have been living down in L.A., making music and enjoying the milder weather. I caught up with him just a few days after his latest snowbird flight landed.
One, I'm loving you. Two, you're loving me. Three, making it four. One, I'm loving you. Two, you're loving me. Three, making it four.
So my friend Edward David Anderson is down in Lower Alabama. As soon as the weather got bad in his native Bloomington, he took off. Where exactly are you in this sort of conceptual area known as L.A. or Lower Alabama?
Yeah. We're down in it's a town called Orange Beach, Alabama. It's kind of smack between Pensacola is just to the east of us, and then Gulf Shores is just to the west of us. So it's kind of a smaller little community, beach community. We just kind of fell into pretty much like within a couple of weeks of moving down here our first winter, we just kind of ended up in this area and found just a really solid, cool group of people and musicians to kind of be around. So we've kind of gravitated towards Orange Beach, and this is where we've been. It'll be our second year in Orange Beach. The first year we were up off the beach maybe 15 miles. We first did the first winter, but these last two winters we've been here a lot closer to the water and to our friends, which is, it's been fantastic.
One of the results of your being down there is your latest CD, which is called The Loxley Sessions, Loxley being the home base of Anthony Crawford. Where's Loxley in relation to where you are camping?
It's a little bit north and west of where we're at here in Orange Beach. Like a 45-minute drive up to his 2,400 acres in very, very rural Loxley, Alabama. It's amazing to just to get to his house. The last, 2 miles is just a red dirt road that's been carved out of these huge old pine trees, and it's a really, really peaceful atmosphere out there to make music. A very relaxed environment. I feel like that comes through on the record, how much fun we were having and how kind of easy it was, and how relaxed and laid back. The actual act of making the record was pretty low stress for me, and I think for him too. And I think that kind of comes through in the music. There's just a laid back vibe, which is, that's what we do. That's what it is down here. It is. It's, everything kind of moves a little bit slower. And I was pleased when I heard the record that it kind of reflected that feel that we get down here.
Just a little bit of peace, a little bit of time, and it won't take long. Just a little bit of sleep, a little bit of wine, and I'll write this song. Write this song.
There's a couple of different variables in terms of making music in a studio environment, which is sort of inherently artificial because you're making an artifact. Is it the producer or is it the artist that's the control freak that needs to be relaxed?
For me, it was I'm the control freak that needed. He said to me, "I need to teach you to shed your anal tendencies." That was like the first day. You need to let go. It was definitely, I'm the high-strung one kind of in the studio that I had to kind of like dial it back, and he helped me do that significantly. He was definitely influential on me. He told me that he learned how to make records from Neil Young, and with Neil, it's more about the vibe and capturing the moment as opposed to like doing something, you know, 50 times until you've taken all the soul out of it. With Neil, it's getting that, a lot of times it's that first take, and sometimes the beauty, he told me, is kind of almost in the mistake. There are moments on this record that weren't planned that maybe, you know, if I was working with somebody else, I might have gone back and redone stuff. But there's stuff that gives it character. There's pushes and pulls and tempo that makes it real. It's not set to a grid on a computer, you know. I was able to kind of like take that advice and really take it to heart and use it. And most of the stuff that I did on the record, pretty much all of it, is all first take. So that record is all just like first initial response, first take, getting that vibe, like what he was talking about, how Neil does it. I'm as proud of it as I have been of any record I've ever made, you know, and I didn't spend near as much time on it. I didn't stress near as much on it. And I think that was kind of almost like a life lesson for me, is you don't always have to put the foot down on the gas all the way to the floor in order to get someplace. One of the main lessons was to take the foot off the gas a little bit and let some things just kind of happen in life and on the record. So.
Cornfield full of fireflies. Well, I'm driving west into a clear, dark night. Got a destination with no place to go. Got a destination with no place to go.
The first track on the record is a song that I wrote over 20 years ago. Firefly, I wrote. I was in a band called Brother Jed in Bloomington, my first grad school band, and we did that song. I mean, it wasn't like that. I completely rearranged it, put it in a different key, and kind of changed the feel and the cadence, and even rewrote some of the words. But the chorus is the same and the same principle, so that one's been around for a couple of decades. I actually kind of rediscovered it down here shortly before I went out to Anthony's property. And I told him that we were going to work on 8 songs, and I snuck that one in there. And he loved it. And, you know, when I went out there, it was really just kind of an exercise to get to know him and to hopefully learn something. I didn't go out there to make a record. I gathered a handful of songs, some new, mostly new, and then a couple of older ones. So I brought these songs out there purposefully. You know, it was strategic in that I thought these could work with his style and how and what he's into and how he plays. But my main objective was to get to know him and to try to learn from him. You know, I had a really good afternoon singing and playing and left and went on tour and came back, and he had played all the fiddle, pedal steel, bass, drum. And I was like, this sounds like an album. You know, I didn't even know that that's what we were going to do. But all of a sudden, this little collection of tunes that I threw together just to go out there and have some fun and get to know him, and became a record. So, yeah, I mean, this was just kind of this, you know, hodgepodge of tunes, some of which had been around for a long time, some of which were newer that I'd written that had been influenced by down here for sure. Like Silver Hill is a town here in Silver Hill, Alabama, where they do house concerts every Sunday, and it's this Sunday social, the Blue Moon Farm. So, you know, I was definitely influenced by down here, and some of the songs and subject matters about having been down here, like, you know, a little more than half of the record is stuff that I wrote since I've been coming down here.
Going back to Silver Hill, back to the farm, gonna get my fill. I'm going back to Silver Hill. Hey, that Alabama winter air is thick and sticky sweet. You know the Gulf of Mexico is waiting right on down the street. Baby, let's go. Oh, baby, let's go. I'm one at a time, ain't no denying. I keep on driving, let's go. I'm one at a time, and there ain't no denying, I know. I've been checking the tires and starting some fires, hoping they turn to burn.
One of my favorite songs on the record is called One at a Time, and you talk about Backyard Tire Fire, you talk about the Fireflies, and you talk about L.A., Lower Alabama. Yeah. So that one definitely feels really fresh, and it also feels like the process you were talking about of just relaxing and enjoying life.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, when I wrote that tune, I wasn't even thinking about Tire Fire. every time I stop and get gas, I do a walk around and check the tires and make sure everything looks good, you know. I've had some wicked blowouts at high speeds and stuff, so I'm always pretty hyper analytical about the tires. And as far as starting some fires, I was talking about going to different towns and trying to get something going, you know, starting a fire, hoping it turns to a burn, where I get to a point where I come back to these places and I've got something going, you know, I've got a fire burning here. So it wasn't even a purposeful reference to backyard tire fire. It just kind of ended up being one. And then as far as the fireflies, that was really happening on that trip when we were going home. We were cruising up I-55 and the fireflies were just hitting the windshield. So those references were actually real references, but they ended up, and I knew this after I had written the song, and especially after having put them in sequence and listening to the record, I'm like, this is kind of cool how this song actually, 20 years later, I'm still writing about cornfields and fireflies, full circle, you know, like, so I thought that was pretty cool too, and I wondered if anybody would get that kind of like accidental tire fire reference, and evidently you did.
Fireflies hit the windshield as I cut through the cornfields up I-55 to my home. Well, flying through the night, yeah, my light still shines bright, 'cause I know that I'm not on my own. Let's go. We're one at a time, and there ain't no